Father, I thank you today for the that which you placed inside my spirit. Help me to communicate it in such a way that it'll bring us up to a level we've never been to today, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that every time we meet, we're coming up higher, coming up stronger because of you, Father. Because our dependency is not on our flesh. It's not on ourselves. Our dependency is all on you, Father. Praise God. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, or you can just look up on the screen here, I encourage you to take notes. And again, as I always say, if you would like the, later this week, we'll have the sermon up on our website, you know. But if you would like the notes, let us know. I can email them to you. Not a problem whatsoever. Praise the Lord. But in Isaiah, let's go to Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50. And keep in mind that when Isaiah was writing Isaiah, it's his book, he's considered a major prophet. Isaiah 50 was written anywhere from, I looked this up, from 700 to 740 BC. Okay? That's 700 to 740 years before Christ took on flesh. Okay? And so Isaiah is a major prophet. Now, what's the difference between a major prophet and a minor prophet? Okay? Their books are longer. You know what I mean? And so, you know, you got Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah. These are all major prophets. But Isaiah prophesied more than any of the prophets about the Messiah that was to come. Amen. And you'll see this here in a minute. So we're going to pick up in verse 4, if you would, Isaiah chapter 50. In verse 4, the Bible tells us, "The Lord hath given me a tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in due season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. For the Lord God hath opened mine ear." Well, let's just stop right here in verse 4 right here. This is actually talking about the coming Messiah. Okay? This is talking about Jesus. He's prophesying this about Jesus, like I said, approximately 700 years before he took on flesh. Okay? You say, well, how do you know he's talking about Jesus? Let's read on. All right? Let's start in verse 4 again. We'll read it all the way on down through verse 7. "The Lord God hath given me a tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in due season to him that's weary." This is talking about Christ. "He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear." Notice this. "And I was not rebellious." Notice this. "Neither turned away my back." Now look at the next verse. "I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off my hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting." Now, who's that talking about? Jesus. He went through that exact thing. Now, I like verse 7. "The Lord God will help me." You know, Jesus was standing on this, believe me. "The Lord God will help me, therefore I shall not be confounded. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed." Now, when it says he set his face like a flint, in other words, he put his eyes on the prize, on the goal. And that's why in the Garden of Eden, Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, amen. It's interesting because I never thought of this until right now, but where did the temptation of Adam take place? In a garden. Where did one of the temptations of Jesus take place? In the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, "Lord, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." And the Lord showed him, the Father showed him, no, this is the only way. Because he knew what he was going to go through. Okay? And so he had to set his face, like, in other words, put his eyes on the goal and not look to the left, not look to the right. Amen? So I want you to see here, because Isaiah is prophesying this, like I said, 700 years prior to Jesus Christ becoming flesh, all right? Now, every morning, Jesus' ear was tuned in to what God his Father was saying to him. Amen? Someone said it like this. It seems that Jesus went from one place of prayer to the next place of prayer and did miracles in between. He was a man of prayer. Or I should say, he was a man of fellowship. He was communicating with his father. Amen? Now, it's interesting. Look at verse 4 again. We're going to talk about this here today. The Lord God, now this is something that you and I can claim here. The Lord God hath given me a tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in due season to him that is weary. Okay? Now notice it's in connection with, he wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. Now, he was able to speak a word in due season to those that were weary. His words carried life to them, amen, and encouragement. The reason that he was able to speak in such a manner, in such a way, is because his ear has opened, and he says, I was not rebellious. Morning by morning, he wakeneth my ear to hear as the learned. Amen. Now, I have found in my own personal experience, you know, through the years that I've been walking with Christ, you know, I was saved in 76. And I really didn't start walking with the Lord until about 1980. Okay? 79, 80, right around that time. And as you grow in the Lord, as you develop your spirit and you walk with the Lord, then you begin to realize that you hear his voice more clear. Amen? And it's one of those times where you hear from the Lord, and that's what we're going to talk about. We're naming this series called A Hearing Heart. Okay? That's what we're going to talk about, how to hear the Lord more clearly. And it says, he wakeneth morning by morning. So I have discovered this, and I have found this to be true. Now, don't get me wrong. The Lord can and will speak to us during the course of any given day. But usually there's a lot more going on. How many of you find that to be true? You know, you're at your job, you're doing stuff, you know, you're about your business, you know. Nothing wrong with that whatsoever. But I have personally found that most of the time in my life when the Lord has spoken to me, and I don't mean spoken audibly, I've never heard the audible voice of God with these ears, never. But I did hear him in my spirit. Amen? But most of the time when the Lord has dealt with me or spoken to me, you know, it's been in the wee hours of the morning. I would say anywhere between 12 a.m. and 6 a.m. Okay? And I thought, well, that's kind of, you know, when I've heard other people say it's the same thing with them. For some reason, it's easier to hear God. I hear God during those hours in the middle of the night. A lot of times 2 in the morning, something like that. I'll wake up and there's something that God puts in my heart. And I think the reason is because your soul is more at rest. There's not a lot going on in the natural. You're at rest. You're physically resting. And it's just easier to home in and to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. Amen? And so he said, he wakened me, my ear, to hear morning by morning, every single morning. Praise the Lord, that we begin to hear from the Lord what he wants from us. Praise the Lord. And so we're going to talk about this in the next couple of weeks here, but there's a process that we can go through to allow the Holy Spirit to really to home in on what he's actually saying to us. Praise the Lord. I wrote down here that Jesus was able to speak a word in due season to people because he had a hearing ear. Okay? And we'll see this in the future here about in the Gospel of John. He says, I can do nothing of my own self, but whatever I hear, that's who I speak. Okay? And so Jesus shows us the pattern on how we function and we operate. Now, if you would go to the book of Proverbs for a minute here, Proverbs chapter 20, and a really powerful scripture, just one verse here, in Proverbs chapter 20, and verse 12, the scripture tells us, the hearing ear, the seeing eye, the Lord even made hath even both of them. Let me read it again. The hearing ear, the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. Do you see that? Hearing ear, seeing eye. That's what God made. Notice it doesn't say that God made the deaf ear or the blind eye. It said he made the seeing ear. You know, eyes were meant to see. Right? They all have a purpose, right? You don't see with your hand, you see with your eye. You don't see with your ear, but you hear with your ear. They don't swap jobs. You don't see with your ear, you hear with your ear. Isn't that a great revelation? Hearing ear, seeing eye. That's what God made. Now we know that the Bible says that we have not only physical ears, we have spiritual ears. Jesus said, let those that have the hear, listen. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to us. So we have this natural set of ears, and we have a spiritual set of ears. We have spiritual eyes, and we have natural eyes. Amen? God wants you to see both naturally, and he wants you to see spiritually. Spirit of seeing and knowing. I remember when Brother Hagin was in St. Louis years ago. I think it was around 1997, I think. Right around that time, he was in St. Louis. He was doing a Holy Ghost meeting. How many remember that? And we didn't go for the whole time. We went for about 3 or 4 days. And my wife and I, we went down there. And I remember, in fact, you can look at it on YouTube. There's still, those meetings were so powerful, you know. So we were able to catch some of it at St. Louis. And I remember one of the things that he brought forth was he wanted to pray for the pastors from the Northeast. And I thought, that's us. And he said, I want to pray for spirit of seeing and knowing, you know. So we all went up. He laid hands on us, you know, and so forth, you know. And I'd never heard that phrase before. He says, we're going to pray for a spirit of seeing and knowing. Praise the Lord. By the Spirit, certain things. Amen. And I noticed that after that happened, that began to take place. Spirit of seeing and knowing. Amen? Well, you're not clueless. You understand certain things. Now, Jesus, it says that he, you know, morning by morning, the Lord said he woke up my ear to hear as the learned. So God wants to speak to us. We'll get into this here because there's two primary ways that God speaks to you and I. Okay? Number one, if you're taking notes, number one, he speaks to us by the written word. That's the primary way. He speaks to us by the written word. The written word is already anointed because holy men of old wrote and spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, the Bible says. So all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for men, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Amen. So the word of God is already anointed. You don't have to pray that the word be anointed. It already is. Amen. So the number one way that God speaks to all of us as his children is through the written word. When you read the Bible, like someone said one time, you know, I noticed that God speaks to me more when I read the Bible. That shouldn't be any revelation because that is God's word. It's his anointed word. But the second way that God speaks to us is by the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of us. And I gave you a prime example of that when I was just in the hospital getting some tests done last week. A few days ago, amen? Now, that lines up because when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, it'll always line up with the Word of God. He's not going to tell you something bizarre that's outside of what the Word of God says. Amen? When he said, no need to worry, no need to fear, because I'm very near. Well, you know what? The Holy Ghost spoke. I didn't hear it with these ears here, but I heard it in here. Amen? And I wasn't planning on even sharing that here today, but that'll bless you too, because it's not only true for myself, it's true for you as well. Because you know what, like when you're around that medical field and all these doctors and everything, and there's a lot of stuff there are people in there that are just in bad shape and bad situations, you know what I mean? And you're surrounded by that negativity and so forth. And so sometimes there's the opportunity to let fear in when you're around that kind of stuff, right? But the Lord said, I'm right here. No need to worry, no need to fear, because I'm very near. I'm right here. Praise the Lord. So what did you do? I just threw my head back on that headrest, and I said, thank you, Lord, that you're here in this room. Had my own little revival right there in that room. Amen? Praise God. So he speaks to us through the Word of God, but he also speaks to us by the Holy Spirit. Okay? So in other words, like Jesus, he tuned his ear in to hear, what's the Holy Spirit saying to me? Amen? Now, many times, the Lord showed me this, because we're all in the same boat in this respect. when the Lord, a lot of times when the Lord is speaking to us, it's so subtle that we're not recognizing that it's actually his voice. It's because it can be so subtle, you could almost mistake it for you making it up. Well, the devil didn't make that phrase up, right? I didn't make that phrase up, so it had to be someone else. It was the Holy Spirit. And so we have to learn, and we are learning, we're constantly learning, to have more of a receptivity and a homing in, if you will, of what the Lord is speaking to us. Amen? And he's not far away, he lives inside of us, so when he speaks to us, it's going to sound like you because it's already in you. It's going to rise up on the inside of you. Amen? You know, if you pray a prayer, for example, like, Lord, I just wish you'd be close to me, you know? Well, how much closer can he get? He's already in you. It doesn't get any closer than that. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. The word is near you. It's near you. It's inside you. Praise God. And so, being that he lives, now what I'm sharing with you today is nothing new per se, but I just maybe say it in a little different way. But because your spirit, your body, the Bible says, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It says that in three different scriptures, all in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, and they're all, Paul says, what, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? So that being said, if your body's the temple, then where does he live? In you. I'm looking at temples right now, every one of you in this room, okay? Now, of course, we're all at different places spiritually, levels spiritually and stuff like that, but it's not where we're at, it's what direction we're going. That's the important thing, okay? Do I have more room to grow in the Lord? Oh, of course. Amen? And until Jesus comes back, I'm going to continue to grow and develop and sharpening my hearing skills to hear what God is saying. Amen? But I know this, that when the Lord does speak to us, when he speaks to us, it always brings, number one, peace. Okay? You see, God's mode of operation is you're in peace. You're in peace. And when you lose peace, that's an indicator that, something's off. Amen? We're in peace. We're in Jesus. We're in him. So, you know, if you're going to make a purchase or something like a major purchase, you know, and, you know, you're going forward and then you're about to do it, but something's checking you on the inside of it, you lose your peace, back up. Amen? Or whatever decision, because he leads us through peace. That's how he leads us. Amen? Now, as we see in Proverbs there again, the hearing ear, the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. Let's go to 1 Kings, the third chapter. 1 Kings, the third chapter. We're going to look at a man by the name of Solomon. Everybody knows who Solomon is, David's son. We're calling this particular series today A Hearing Heart, Part 1. Praise the Lord. Now, just follow along with me in the scriptures right here. Now, notice in verse 5, it says, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask me what I will give thee. Let's just stop right there for a minute, because Gibeon in the Hebrew means a hill or elevated place. Okay? Names have significance. And so this fits well with its geography, since Gibeon was located on an elevated terrain northwest of Jerusalem. Notice this. It is also the place where Solomon offered sacrifices and had his famous dream asking God for wisdom. So there he would offer sacrifices to the Lord. And that's where we're going to pick up in verse 5. Okay? It says, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared unto Solomon. This is after he was making sacrifices to the Lord. Amen. And there appeared Solomon a dream by night, and God said, ask what I will give you. Boy, that's a loaded question, isn't it? What do you want me to do for you? Verse 6, and Solomon said, You have showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit in his throne as it is to this day. Now here's his prayer. And now, Lord, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go in or go out. He's at least being honest, isn't he? That shows humility. He's being honest. Verse 8 says, thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for the multitude. Now here's his prayer, verse 9. Give therefore thy servant, that's him, an understanding heart. Notice that, an understanding heart to judge this thy people, that I might discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this thy so great a people? See, that's his prayer. And then the Lord responds to him in verse 10, and this speech pleased the Lord. You see that? This speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither have you asked for riches for thyself, nor asked me of thine life for thine enemies, but thou hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee as all thy days. In other words, there'll be no one like you. In verse 14, and if thou wilt walk in my ways and keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream, and he came unto Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant, the Lord, and offered up, here he is again, burnt offerings, and offered peace offerings, and made a feast for all of his servants. Praise the Lord. Can I have an amen? Now, the key to this verse here, we're talking about a heart that's able to see, a seeing heart. Verse 9, he says, give your servant therefore an understanding heart to judge your people. Amen. Now in the Hebrew, I looked it up. I literally looked it up. And it means Solomon literally asked for a hearing heart. He asked for a hearing heart. And notice this saying pleased the Lord. Amen. So in other words, we're going to go over to 2 Chronicles chapter 1 for a minute here. We're going to read the same account here, but a little bit said a little bit differently. The same situation here, but it's said a little bit differently, and I thought it'd be good for us to see this. So I'm kind of building a foundation here. So Solomon was literally asking for a hearing heart, a heart that was able to discern, a heart that was able to understand when it came to dealing with God's people. That's pretty important, isn't it? Amen. Now, 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 7 here. In that night, God did appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said unto God, thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father and hath made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in the multitude. Verse 10, he said, give me now wisdom and knowledge. See, it's said a little bit differently here. Okay? Give me now wisdom and knowledge that I might go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this thy people that is so great? See, Solomon knew his deficiencies. He knew his limitations. And you know, someone said, well, how old was he when this happened? from anywhere from 16 to 21 years old. He was a young man. He was a teenager. Okay? And God said unto Solomon, because this was in thine heart, you have not asked for riches or wealth or honor, nor the life of your enemies, neither hast thou asked... But you have asked for wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge thy people, whomover I have made thee king. Verse 12 says, wisdom and knowledge is granted unto you, and I will give you both riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had been before thee, neither shall any be like thee afterwards. So, this is the basic story of Solomon. Amen? And so as he was making sacrifices, now you have to understand, back in the Old Testament, under the New Testament, we offer up, the Bible says, spiritual sacrifices. The Bible says, the fruit of our lips in Hebrews, giving thanks unto his name. As we worship the Lord before our service, you know, before we preach this morning, we're offering up sacrifices to the Lord. Let us offer to God the sacrifice of praise continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. That's a big deal to the Lord. Amen? Now, some time ago, I don't know when it was exactly, the Lord was showing me one time, he said, Keith, I'm not hard to please. You think you have to do all these different things in order to please the Lord, but he said, when you thank me, and you take time out of your schedule and you say, Father, I just thank you for that right now. He said, that's offering up spiritual sacrifices. That's pleasing to the Lord. Amen? Sometimes we have the idea or the opinion, we have to, man, we got to, you know, get our face in the rug and do things and all, you know what I'm saying, and go through all these different things in order to please the Lord. But actually, just thanking him, taking a moment, just a moment out of your time and say, Father, I just want to thank you for this day. That pleases the Lord. Amen? He's not a hard taskmaster. He's not like a Pharaoh. Okay? Are y'all with me now? He's not hard to please. Okay? Praise the Lord. But see, David did too, but Solomon would offer up natural burnt offerings, that kind of thing. That's the kind of sacrifices. In fact, you know, back in those days when they would go to the temple, even the time of Christ, they would bring sacrificial animals and so forth, and blood sacrifices. That was how they worshiped God back in those days. But we're, you know, the book of Hebrews says, you know, we don't offer up physical sacrifices now. It's spiritual sacrifices, and that is worship and thanks and praise to him, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Amen? Now, it says it's a sacrifice because sometimes you don't want to do it. You know, when you're going through something, and something, the pressure's on and that kind of, you're in the pressure cooker, so to speak, you know, the last thing your flesh wants to do is bless the Lord. You find that to be true? Your flesh doesn't want to do that. But right in the midst of that, you say, Father, I just want to thank you. You know, it brings more pleasure to him when it's just you and him and no one else is looking. Okay? It's just between you and the Lord. Amen? Many times, when I go to bed at night and I'm not quite asleep yet, under my breath, I'm talking to the Lord. And I'll have a conversation with him. Okay? And I'm trying to bend my ear towards him. And I just say, Lord, I just want to thank you for this day. And I list all the things I'm thankful for and I'm grateful for, you know. And it's better to go to sleep at night when you offer thanksgiving and praise because you're setting the atmosphere. And when Solomon was making burnt offerings and sacrifices, that's the place. That's the hill, Gibeon. That's the elevated place. And your prayer is that elevated place. Prayer is nothing more than communication with the Lord. You can talk to God anywhere. You don't have to be on your knees. You don't have to be in a church. You can be driving down the road, walking through a mall. You can be out in your yard, taking your dog on a walk or whatever. And the Lord will speak to you wherever because your body's the temple. He'll talk to you. Amen? So it was in that place that Solomon had a hearing ear. And he actually literally asked for a hearing heart. Lord, I want to hear. I want to be able to judge. Now, the good thing is, the Lord gave him that wisdom. Now we know about Solomon. Jesus even said that there was nobody smarter than Solomon. He was wise and wiser than anybody on the planet Earth back in those days. Think about that. People, the Queen of Sheba and different people would come from miles. They didn't have vehicles back then. Horses, donkeys. Because they just wanted to sit at his feet and hear his wisdom. The Bible says that he had over 3,000 proverbs. Well, we have 31. But he had such wisdom. And it was the wisdom of God that was inside of him that put those thoughts in his mind. He was able to release those things. And that's why the book of Proverbs is so full. 31. Amen. One for each day of the week or the month. Amen. And there's such wisdom on the inside of those. Those are spawned from the Holy Spirit. Amen. So Solomon, God had given him an impartation of wisdom. He was able to judge the people correctly and lead the people, at least in his early part. Now, later in life, he got off. Where did it start? Too many wives and too many concubines or porcupines or whatever. Amen? And that wasn't God's plan. Okay? And, hundreds of wives. Amen? Just go figure. Amen. And he did get off, okay? But he started out right. Amen. But Jesus said concerning Solomon, he said, they came from the uttermost parts of the world to hear the wisdom of Solomon. But Jesus said, this a greater than Solomon is here, talking about himself. Amen. Praise God. Well, let's talk about the good side of Solomon here for a minute, because what got him in that position to begin with, he was humble. Say humble. He realized he didn't have what it took. This is how victory starts in our individual lives, when we realize, I can't, but he can. I don't have the goods, but he does. That's the greatest place you can start, not saying, I can do it all. Amen. People say, I can do all things. Well, finish the sentence, through Christ. Amen. So we're connected to that man, Jesus Christ, right? But the good thing is when you're engrafted into Christ, you're in Christ, you're already connected to the vine. He's able to speak to you and give you wisdom and revelation. Amen. So as we said here in the first part of the message here, there's two ways that God speaks to us. First of all, by the written word. And also by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's go to the book of Ephesians chapter 1 for a minute here. And let's pick up in verse 16. It's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. Paul writing to the church here at Ephesus and to us, he said, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Here's the prayer right here. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you, notice this, the spirit of wisdom. Notice that. And revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to that working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him down at his own right hand in the heavenly places. We'll stop right there. Now notice that this is a prayer. We've talked about this. You know that these are spirit-anointed prayers. There's a prayer in chapter 1. There's a prayer in chapter 3. There's also another prayer like this, similar, in the book of Colossians. Okay? But I want to focus primarily on this, because what did Solomon ask for? He asked for wisdom. Lord, I need wisdom. I don't know whether I'm coming or going. He was showing his humility. He was showing his inabilities that he had. But after the Lord imparted the wisdom to him, he was a different man. So who could we attribute the wisdom of Solomon to? The Lord. Right? It came from the Lord. Amen? Now, it's important for us because we can pray this prayer, and we should pray this prayer, and we probably, a lot of us do, pray this prayer that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. Amen. And here's the thing. You don't have to understand all that's being said there, but it works. I can tell you that. It works. Lord, I pray this. And I pray this not only for my family, I pray this for the church family. Okay? And we list you by name. Amen? And your family, all your family. Praise the Lord. Amen? And just because part of your family isn't here doesn't mean we don't pray for them. We pray for them too. Okay? But I believe that the spirit of wisdom and revelation is so powerful that when we pray that and believe that, it's just like Solomon when he did not know what to do, when he was offered this great responsibility. Think about it. He's like anywhere from 16 to 21 years old when this happened. Okay? He's going to inherit David's position as the leader of Israel. He feels inadequate because there's thousands and thousands of people that are depending on him. So he didn't take it lightly. Now, we know through the Bible that there were other kings that were raised up that did not seek after the Lord. And they corrupted Israel and so forth. They were wicked kings, some of them actually. But Solomon was not one of them. Okay? And so, what Solomon did is something that you and I can do as Christians. You know, now maybe God hasn't called us to be the leader of Israel or something like that. But the principles that he operated in will always work for us. Praise the Lord. And it's okay to feel inadequate. It's okay to feel like I don't even feel like I qualify for whatever. I don't have the goods, you know. But when we lean on the wisdom of God, that wisdom is already in a person called Jesus Christ. Amen? Actually, Jesus is the one that gave Solomon that wisdom. That's why he said a greater than Solomon is here. In other words, you thought Solomon was smart? Who do you think gave it to him? I'm paraphrasing. Amen? Now, we all know what it's like to face difficult situations, and more importantly, difficult people. There are people that we face in life that we have to deal with, you know. Some might be a family member. Some might be a close friend, a co-worker, or something along that line, you know. And sometimes there are difficult people to deal with. Okay? Husbands, don't look at your wives right now, you know, or vice versa. I'm just teasing. Amen. Amen. And so that a scripture in Isaiah again says, he wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth my ear to hear as the learned. So a good way to pray and summing this up this morning is, Lord, give me a hearing ear. Give me a heart to understand your heart towards people. Amen? It's so easy to judge other people, isn't it? Did you ever notice that? Man, if I was in their shoes, I would do this. You know what I mean? Well, that's called being idealistic instead of realistic. I've known people like that. I've met people like that. Not here. But people, they think they ought to do this. They should do this. Listen, it may seem, the Bible says every man is right in his own eyes. It may seem like to you the right thing to do, but is that the wisdom of God? Are you with me now? But I'm convinced that if we ask the Lord, Father, I need your wisdom today. Give me a hearing ear and a seeing eye, like the Bible says. I want to know, I want to see, I want to experience that. And I'll tell you one thing. When you hear from the Lord, you automatically have peace. You know, how do you know when the devil's talking to you? Because you got fear and anxiety. Satan has a voice. You don't hear it with these audible ears right here, but you feel afraid. You feel fear. You all know what that's like? Am I the only one? Okay. How do you know when the enemy's talking to you? You feel afraid. You feel fear. You know exactly when he's trying to communicate to you. Just like the tree was communicating to Jesus, and Jesus said to the fig tree, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter." So the fig tree had to say something to him, but it wasn't words like we're talking, but it was conveying a message. Are you with me? And circumstances will convey a certain message to you. It ain't working. It's not working. You're not healed. You still have that pain. You still have that symptom in your body. These are lying vanities, the Bible says. Okay? Amen? That's what the guy said that was swallowed by the whale. He called it lying vanities. What was his name? Jonah. As he's in the belly of the whale, right there in the midst of a type and shadow of hell. Jesus said, as Jonah was in the heart of the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. So that whale was like a hell. Slime, darkness, no light, smelly, stinky, nasty. Okay? But Jonah repented in the belly of the whale. He says, "Okay, I'll do it, Lord. I'll do what you want me to do." And the Bible says God caused that fish to vomit him up. That might be the only positive vomiting you've ever heard of. Okay? I'm sure he was blessed. He was thankful, right? Praise the Lord. And it's funny because when the whale, the big fish, threw him up, you know, those people worship fishes in Nineveh. They had many different gods. Can you imagine them seeing him? If they saw him come out of the whale's mouth, he must be a god. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if that happened or not. But he called it lying vanities, you know? And so we have to realize that the Holy Spirit inside of us is the Spirit of peace. He operates through peace. And that's why when if we prophesy, if any man prophesies, the simple gift of prophecy is, as the Bible says, is to speak unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. 1 Corinthians 14. Amen? And so you'll notice sometimes in our services once in a while, not every week per se, but as the Holy Ghost will move and say something, you know, it's spontaneous. You don't pre-think it. Anytime I've ever prophesied, I didn't pre-think it. I didn't know it was even coming. But all of a sudden inspiration. Right, Brother Dan? And you don't even know exactly what you're going to say, per se. You might have the first word, but you say it, and the Holy Ghost hooks up with it, you know? And the Bible even says, if any man's going to prophesy, let him prophesy according to the faith that is in him. So the more that you develop, now every person can prophesy. Now, I'm not telling, you know, we could go off on a little tangent here, but we're not trying to, through prophecy, we're not telling people what to do, who to marry, so forth and so on. That can get people in a big mess real quick. I've seen that happen. I remember back in the day when I first, before I even met Lynn, actually, there was a guy in the church that I came out of, and he was at some meeting somewhere, and some guy called him out, you know, and he was a so-called prophet, you know, and this guy was just gullible. You know what I'm saying? And I'm 20 years old and I saw it. You know what I mean? He was just gullible. And he said, this guy called him up and said, "You're going to be a missionary to China." I think his name was Paul, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That guy. And, you know, so him and his wife said, "The Lord spoke to us, you know. We're going to be missionaries to China." So they sold their house, sold everything, you know. Well, in the process of time, they lost everything. They even lost their marriage as well. Because they went by what someone else prophesied instead of listening. See, if someone's going to prophesy over you, it should line up with what you already have in your heart. It should confirm. The Bible doesn't say as many as are led by prophecy, they're the children of God. It said as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the children of God. So the true gift of prophecy should only confirm that which is already inside you. And it was a sad thing to watch because they had kids and the whole family was split apart and they got divorced. I mean, it was horrible what happened, okay? Lost all of his money, going over to China. I lost it all. Some people have more confidence in what some man or woman of God's prophesies than they do in their own spirit. That's a dangerous place to be. I'm telling you. I don't care if someone says, thus saith the Lord. I've had people through the years say things to me, the Lord's saying this, you know, it hasn't been recently. But I'm like, that's not in my spirit. Amen? I remember someone went up to Lynn when she was at Bible school, before we were married, and they said, you're going to be a missionary stateswoman. Were they prophesying or something? Or they said the Lord spoke to you. A missionary what? Stateswoman, what the heck is that? And I mean, we saw some real flakes when I was going to Bible school. You know, granola Christians, nuts, fruits, and flakes. Now, there were some good people too, don't get me wrong. But the devil tries to... We saw some flaky, weird people. Yeah. I was driving a school bus down there too. That was my job that I had there. And one day I was driving down the road. He passed me in his bus, you know, and he had his eyes closed and his hands up in the air. And he's driving a school bus. And I told him, dude, what were you doing? He goes, I walk by faith and not by sight. I said, you stupid. The sad part was he was serious, you know. Thank God he didn't get in a big wreck. But, I mean, we had some weird people when I was going to Rainbow back in those days, you know. It wasn't even really spiritual. They were just hyper-spiritual, you know. And so you had to sift through some of that stuff and realize there's the fake, but then there's the real. Amen. And I'm so glad Brother Hagin taught us, you know, he goes, look, we're not led by prophets. They have their place, but they don't lead us. They don't guide us. And if somebody prophesies over you certain things, if it's not already in your heart, put it on a shelf. Amen? Now, I remember a few years later, this is before that, actually. Let's get my timetable right here. I was invited to go to a meeting. There used to be a building in Cannonsburg called Feed My Sheep. Do you ever hear that place? It was called Feed My Sheep Ministries, you know. And anyway, they don't exist anymore, but they had like a bookstore and so forth. This is back in the 70s, early 80s, you know. And I remember somebody invited me to go to hear this speaker, but his name was Bob Buess, B-U-E-S-S, and his wife, okay. I had never heard of them before, but I knew that they had come out of Word of Faith circles and, you know, he knew Brother Hagin. I knew at least that much, you know. So I'd never heard him before. And he wrote a book called Favor, The Road to God's Success. That was the original book on favor, okay? How many of you have that book, Favor? It's a great, great book, you know. Now, my friend and I went, and this is a guy that I was able to lead to the Lord in high school. His name was Jim. We went to this meeting, and for some reason, we got there a little bit late. It had already... they'd already done the worship, and we got there, found a parking spot, and the church facility was upstairs where the bookstore was. It was just a hallway that went up these little stairs. It was just it's probably smaller than maybe half the size of this room, and it was jam-packed, okay? It was jam-packed, and we went up, and we walked, and we're like, oh, we're late, you know. And so one of the ushers said, come here, follow me. So they put us on the second row, you know. I don't know why those seats weren't taken, but they put us on the second row. And I was about from here to Lynn as far as distance where the guest speaker was speaking. Now, Bob is a man he's from East Texas, has a southern draw, big, tall. He reminded me of Jed from the Beverly Hillbillies, okay? And... But he was speaking, and then he started calling out miracles that were taking place and healing. And I had never been exposed to that before. And people's teeth were being filled with gold, supernaturally. And people were shouting out, I'm healed, I'm healed, different situation. You knew it wasn't fake, you know. So I'm like riveted on what's going on here. God is moving, the gifts of the Spirit are moving. Now, he had been in the ministry for a lot of years at that point. Okay? And so, now, before I tell you what's going to happen, the Lord had been talking to me about He's going to provide a wife. I didn't know Lynn at this point. Okay? He's going to provide a wife for me and so forth. And I had tried in my own strength to find the right woman. Fell flat on my face. Okay? And I got so frustrated because I knew God was dealing with me about going to the ministry. I didn't want to do it alone. I wanted a wife. Okay? And so the Lord, make a long story real short, the Lord said, Keith, I want you to put all your effort, all your energy into me. In other words, I want you to date me. You understand what I mean by that? So for about a year, almost a year, I put all of my energies into the Lord. I wasn't looking for a woman. I wasn't, you know what I'm trying to say? God knew that was in my heart. So on the tail end of that, I went to that meeting. I'm sitting up front. I had never met this man in my life before, ever. And God had spoken certain things to me about this, all right? This doesn't sound weird, does it? Okay? That's where I was. And I just had this feeling he was going to say something to me. I just had this intuition that he was going to say something to me or call me out or something. Sure enough, he did. So he was up there in his big cowboy boots, you know, and he looked down at me. He says, young man, the Lord has a word for you. Okay? And I was with my friend. I had tingles all over me, goosebumps, you know. He said, the Lord is, in essence, he said, the Lord has heard your prayers and the Lord has called you into the ministry, because I was wrestling with that at that point. Okay? I was teetering, if you will. He said, the Lord has called you. He's called you to go get training. And by the way, the Lord has a wife on the way for you. It's the desire of your heart. That's all I remember. I was like, wow. I about floated out of that place when it was done, you know? Well, it was shortly after that, that our paths crossed. Okay? And the rest is history. Amen? It happened supernaturally. It was supernatural. So much so that when I was in church and I saw the first time I ever saw my wife Lynn, her and another girl, Lori was on the piano, wasn't she? Am I right? Okay, she was. Her friend Lori was playing the piano. She was playing the flute, and they did a special like during the offering type thing in the church, you know, in there in our little church that we met in. I had never met her before, but I saw her up front. And when I looked at her, the Holy Ghost said to me, I didn't hear it with these ears, the Holy Ghost said, that's your wife right there. I thought, okay. Now, what made it more challenging was she was already dating a guy that was in the church. Okay, this big guy, his name was Jim. In fact, he's been to our church. He came and visited our church about a year or two ago, you know. That was interesting. She was dating this guy. And so after she got done playing the flute that up front, it was beautiful music, by the way. And she went over and sat down next to him. And so after the Lord had just spoken to me, I saw what happened. I looked across the pew there, down at the other, across the aisle. And I said, well, Lord, you're going to have to take care of that fellow. Just remember, I made a deal with the Lord. I said, Lord, I am not going to chase someone. I'm not going to try to do an Ishmael. I want an Isaac, okay? Ishmael was after the flesh. I want something that's birthed by the Spirit. Well, the Lord worked that out. Amen? And I remember that so vividly. It was such a miracle of God. You know what I'm saying? And I remember one of the first times I embraced my wife and I held her out in front of her house. I broke out in tongues. I held her, and I prayed, but it was a holy moment. I don't think so. It wasn't weird or anything like that. It was just the Holy Spirit. When I was so new at this, and I was seeing the Holy Spirit move in such a way that I had never seen in my entire life before. This was real to me. Okay? Well, I don't know how I got off on that, but I think I was talking about how that the Spirit, if someone has a prophecy or something that speaks over you, it will only confirm what's in your heart. What's in your heart. So in conclusion today, we're going to build on this foundation here. I know we kind of had to lay a foundation here today. That the Holy Spirit, just like in Isaiah, says, He hath given me a tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word to him that in due season, and he wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth my ear to hear as the learned. And so Jesus was, and it, we know it's talking about him because it talks about, I gave my back to the smiters and I gave my face, they plucked off my beard, you know. And that all happened, okay? But Jesus is our pattern. He gave his ear first to the Lord. Then he was able to bring a word in due season to the people that were weary. Amen? Praise the Lord. You know, I found this very, very interesting. But you remember, and I'll close here, the woman that was caught in the act of adultery in the book of John. I think it's chapter 12, I think. I might be wrong on that. It's in the Gospel of John, I know that. This is really interesting. The Pharisees caught her in the act of adultery. They dragged her before Jesus to really trap Jesus. You remember that? Now, as far as I know, it takes two people to commit adultery. Where's the guy? What happened to him? You know? Maybe it was one of the Pharisees, you know. Doesn't say, but they thought they were trying to always trap him, right? They brought him, they dragged her. Think about how they didn't respect this woman. We caught her in the very act of adultery, and the Bible says Moses said that they shall be stoned. What do you have to say? And she's probably fearing and trembling, right? Amen. And he didn't answer them a word. Okay? Now, here's the part that I did not know until recently. This happened on the Temple Mount of Herod's temple. There was no dirt. There was no grass. It was solid stone. Solid stone. I even looked it up myself. Okay? I don't want to just go by hearsay. I looked it up myself. This happened on the Temple Mount where this happened. They dragged this woman here. They think they've got a case here. This woman's going to be stoned. She's going to die today. What do you have to say? Okay? Now, Jesus stooped down and wrote with his finger on the ground. Now, wait a minute. That's not dirt. It's stone. That's rather interesting. How do you write with your finger on stone? Stone. It's not like butter, okay? And so he ignored them, but he wrote on the ground. Then he stood up and kneeled down a second time, wrote on the ground, and he said this, "He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone." Let's go back to the book of Exodus. When Moses was on top of the mount, the Bible says God wrote with his finger the commandments in rock, right? That's the first time. He came down off the mountain, had the commandments, you know. But then he realized there's a whole lot going on in the camp of Israel, you know, that's not good. They're worshiping a golden calf, and they're having a big orgy of a party, if you will. That's exactly what happened there. Okay? And the Bible says Moses threw down the commandments. He broke all 10. Okay? And then God called him back up, gave him another set of commandments again. Amen? But the Bible says God wrote with his finger the commandments. And we're talking, what's that real hard rock? Granite. That's all those big rocks are just granite, solid, still to this day at Mount Sinai in Saudi Arabia, okay? So he comes down a second time. That time, that's the ones that they kept, okay? But he was just ticked off at what they were doing, worshiping a golden calf and committing idolatry and so forth, you know? And he just threw them down, okay? Now, Jesus wrote on the ground. Then he got up to respond to them. and said what he said, and then he got back down and wrote again. Could it be, because they were convicted in their heart, I'm just saying, could it be, because Jesus, I believe, is the one, the pre-incarnate Christ, that wrote those commandments out with his finger. What if he got down on that temple and started writing the Ten Commandments on the temple? You know that's a miracle. Now, it doesn't say that he did that, but what if he did that? But Moses got the commandments twice. Jesus stooped down twice. Okay? Wrote on the ground, and the Bible says they were convicted from the eldest to the youngest, and they left. And he says, woman, where are thine accusers? She goes, there are none. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. I mean, she was guilty, right? But who was more guilty? Those stinking Pharisees, those religious people that tried to, they weren't concerned for people. They wanted to trap them. You healed on the wrong day. You healed on the Sabbath day. How dare you? We should kill you for that. See, that's a religious spirit. Religious spirits want to kill people instead of, it wants to crucify them, wants to kill them. That's what they wanted to do for this woman. They wanted to see her stoned. But Jesus called out their male. He said, if who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And they all left. But he said to the woman, where are thine accusers? She said, there are none, Lord. She had to be weeping. You know that. He just saved her life right there physically. Think about that. What did Jesus give this woman? He gave her a gift. Do you know what it is? The gift of no condemnation. Amen? He says, neither do I condemn you. Amen? Go and be free. I don't believe she ever did that again. Amen? You see, when people feel condemned, for example, when people feel that they've committed the unpardonable sin, they're thinking, what's the use? I might as well go out and sin more, all the more, because I'm going to hell anyway. And people, they think that. The devil's deceived them. Okay? I've committed the unpardonable sin. Well, here's the thing. A person that thinks they've committed it hasn't. Okay? But Jesus gave her the gift of no condemnation. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those which are in Christ Jesus. Now, the King James says, who walk not after the flesh, after the spirit. That was added in at the translators. That was not a part of the original Greek. So it should read like this. There is therefore now no condemnation for those which are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, verse 2, has made us free from the law of sin and death. Okay? And when you realize there's no, even when you screw up, even when you mess up as a Christian, God's not condemning you. He's there to help you. Okay? Now, if you feel condemnation, you feel guilt, the last thing you want to do is pray. The last thing you want to do is even talk to the Lord. Right? Now, that is not a license to go out and sin. I think the more free you know that you are, the more forgiven that you are, the less you will ever want to sin. Amen? But it's when people are under guilt and under condemnation, that's when they feel like, what's the use? I might as well go ahead and go deeper. Okay? But I think about this. There's no condemnation for you. Jesus took your condemnation. He was condemned so that you wouldn't have to be. He was sent to hell so you wouldn't have to be. He was nailed to the cross so you wouldn't have to be. He was buried so you wouldn't have to be. He actually took, we saw this last week, he took your place. When he died, you died. When he was buried, you were buried. When he was raised, you were raised. When he was seated, the Bible says we're seated with him in Christ Jesus, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Wow. Does that make me want to backslide? No. When I realize how good God is, the last thing you want to do is backslide. Let's just take a moment, thank him. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Worship you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Father, we praise you. We worship you today. Thank you today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the gift of no condemnation, Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Say this after me, Lord, give me, I pray, a hearing heart. To hear your voice is the most important voice I will ever hear. I want to hear you every day, loud and clear, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm so glad Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Amen. So we just kind of laid a foundation here. Tomorrow, next Sunday, we're really going to get into some nuggets regarding this. I can't wait. I'm so excited about this because he's given us the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. Did you learn something this morning? Thank you, Father God. Amen. We're going to go ahead and receive our offering and close the service out this morning. If you would like an envelope, feel free to lift your hand up and we'll get one to you. Praise the Lord. I just hear this in my spirit. It's not hard to hear from me. For the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. It's not difficult. It's not hard to hear from me. For you see, I live on the inside of you. And I will put my desires, I will put my thoughts in your heart and in your mind. And you'll know without a shadow of a doubt, that's the Lord. And all will be well. Even in the midst of so-called situations that seem impossible to you, that seem that you're backed into a corner and there's no way out, I will speak unto you and I will give you the wisdom that you need. Hallelujah. And you'll be led forth with peace and led forth with joy. For you'll know that I spoke to you and I'm inside you, says the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Had to speak that forth. Praise the Lord.